2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read the first couple verses, but we're going to jump down through and touch on a couple things through here. We're just going to start with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be the soldier, that he may please him, be faithful to him that has chosen us to be his soldiers. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Guide us now. I pray that your spirit would work in each of our lives now, that our hearts will be challenged with your word, and that we would be a faithful witness, a good soldier, a workman that is approved by you. We thank you, Lord, for this evening. Again, we ask that your spirit would have freedom to challenge each of our lives. Guide me, give me the power, give me the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stop and look at this, this title, if you like titles, mine's actually somewhat long. To be an approved worker, you must flee and follow. To be a good soldier, you must flee and follow. You must be strong and not stop fighting. You must remember and not forget. You must try diligently and not ever give up. Not ever give up. And this is really a summary of this chapter, of these verses that Paul was communicating to Timothy, that he wanted him to communicate to others. And that's where we want to go this evening. Timothy, just starting with verse 1, Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And as we stop and think about that, he's making it very clear, be strong. You know, a lot of times we say that to people, yeah, let's tough it out. Get, you know, just work through it. You can do it. And that sounds good, unless we're telling them to do it in their own strength. And that's what comes down to, and we say, yeah, you can do it. Come on, you can keep working at it. That's okay for a basketball game. But in the spiritual life, we need to stop and say, no, it's in his grace and his power we are to keep our. He's the strength that we need, and it's in his strength that we have to go forward. And that's what Paul is talking about, not what we can do, but what he can do through us. You know, I want to be a little transparent on this. A couple years ago, that would have been about 40. That is a couple, right? Yeah, that's a couple. I just wanted to check. I wasn't going to check with him because he, never mind. Back to where, because he's looking at his phone, isn't he? Just give me a wave if he looks down at his phone. So, okay, back to the message again. Where's your strength? Where's our strength at? Yeah, it used to be, I had a saying, if I can get my hands on it, I can move it. And I was a farm boy, worked on the farm, worked hard. I remember even after getting to the mission field, I was able to move an I-beam by myself, which usually took several men. And maybe that's why I'm sitting down now and not standing up. But that's another message. But, you know, I thought I could do anything. So I figured if I could get my hands on it, I can move it. Then it came to catching cows. Well, there's a technique, and I could go and describe it about sticking your fingers in their nose and twisting their heads to drop them. But I won't go into those details. You can also grab the bottom jaw and do the same thing and drop the cow. But I won't go into that. But I could do that, and I had the strength to do that. Then it came just a couple years ago. One Saturday morning, I walked into the bathroom, and I realized I couldn't open a tube of toothpaste. I was not doing too hot. So I did the only smart thing, go over and sit down in my recliner and just let it pass. That probably wasn't the smart thing either, but that's beside the point. No one's ever blamed me for being really smart. They haven't blamed me for being a good singer either. But this is what it comes down to. It came to the point that I literally could not open the tube of toothpaste. You know, and that just was a tremendous reminder to me. It's not in my strength. It's in His strength. It's His grace, His power, His love, His faithfulness. Now, I can't do it in myself. Maybe that's why God had me go work in a different language, then a different language after that, because He knew I couldn't do it. And this is what it comes down to. Psalms 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. That's where our strength is. Our help is in Him. We need to trust in Him. And that's why Paul said very clearly in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy in verse 12, he said, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able." Amen. Paul didn't say, "I know I can do it. I can do it." No, He is able. Amen. And that's what we need to be reminding ourselves of, that He is well able. Whatever comes our way, He is well able. No matter the circumstances, He is able. And whatever He asks us to do, He is able. He's the one that's going to enable us to be a good soldier. He's the one that's going to enable us to be a worker that is approved by Him, not ourselves. And that's where we have to stop and get back to that base and say, no, it's what God can do through me, not what I can do because of what abilities I have or talents. And that's what it comes down to. We have to remind, as Paul said, I am persuaded that He is able. And as in Psalms 46:1, a verse that many know, our God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. He is our strength. He is our refuge. And that's where we have to remind ourselves, not ourselves, not the world, not our goods, not anything else. He is our strength. Amen. He is going to enable. And that's where Paul starts out this with, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, not in what you've done. And that's what we come down to. By His grace, we are blessed, not by our strength. By His grace, we are loved, and we have been shown mercy and forgiveness. By His grace, we know that all of His promises are true. And that's where we need. By His covenants, He has not broken a single one. Psalms 89, verse 34. And that's where it comes down. By His love and grace and mercy, there's hope. In ourselves, as Luke 18:27 goes, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. And that's where we have to go. God can use any of us to do anything, as Buck was sharing his testimony. That's what it comes down to. God can use any of us to do things that are beyond what we can imagine. Amen. And that's what we have to stop at this evening and stop and consider that. It's Him that will give us the strength to go on. It's Him that's going to enable us. As Paul said, "For I am weak, then I am strong." I finally became strong when God took away everything I couldn't do. And then I could see what God could do in the impossible situations. And this is what we have to stop and consider, what God can do despite our strengths or our weaknesses. That as Isaiah wrote in chapter 40, verse 31, yeah, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." With God, without God's grace, we ain't got a chance. We are hopeless in a lost world. Without God's grace, there is no hope for salvation. Without God's grace, there's no hope for a life of peace and hope. And this is what we have to stop and remember, that without His grace, it's a hopeless situation. We will not have world peace outside of our Lord Jesus and what He's done for us. That's what we have to stop and remember. Without His grace, there is no hope for a victorious Christian life. that without His grace, His mercy, His love, there is no hope of heaven. There is no hope of eternity with Him. That's where we have to go. You know, we face many, many different circumstances. Around the room, I look and I think about different people who are facing different struggles and battles. Without His grace and mercy, we don't stand a chance. But God, and this is what Paul said, but as it said in John 16:33, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the greatest enemies that we face. The greatest enemies is the world, is Satan, and is our own flesh. And that's what we have to overcome. We can't do it. We will lose every time. But it's through His grace and mercy that He will enable us to be more than conquerors. And then as we go down in the text that I read in verse 2, in these things that thou hast heard of me, tell faithful men, tell others, teach others, pass it on. Don't keep it to yourself. And that's what we have to stop and think. Teach these truths to others. Pass it on to those around us, that they might pass it on to others. And that's what we have to stop and consider. We have to declare the truth. We have to proclaim what God has done for us. We have to testify of God's word and all that He has done. We have to speak the truth of the Spirit of God and all that He's doing in and through us, declaring it to others that they might know. They might know there's a living God that wants to give them hope and peace and confidence to walk forward and face whatever battles that come before us. That's where we need to pass it on, teach others. You know, as we stop and think about that, passing it on, we said, no, I just like taking it in. You know, it's the Dead Sea Syndrome. Right. Yeah, ain't nothing living there. It's got to pass through us. We're just channels to pass it through. We get it, we pass it on. We get it, we pass it on. And it's not. And this is what the truth of God's word is. It's that we might share with others what God has done for us. And that's where we have to stop and consider this evening. As we look at this, we have to stop and say, hey, God just asked us to pass it on. And that's what happened to us some 42 years ago or something like that. We decided that we needed to pass it on. And we went into missions. We went to Bolivia. We went to work with SAEJA. And by the way, if you want, next Sunday night I'm supposed to speak again. If Pastor lets me, after hearing the listening to this, or if Brian doesn't want me to lead the singing, he's not saying anything. I want to share a message entitled "Why We Went to Bolivia." I want to show you some of you have seen the pictures, some of our PowerPoint presentation. But I want to remind you of what God did there, despite the tools that He got with me. And He got my wife, who's a really good language learner, then He got me. And that's a different story. We're going to leave that there. But that's for next Sunday night. I might even bring the snakeskin since Pastor's not here. Is he watching? Maybe I won't bring it. We'll see. We'll see. Bring it. Yeah, okay. Let's settle. It's been voted on and passed. Isn't that how we do that in a business meeting? Never mind. We won't go there. We'll just keep moving on. But with the SAEJA, as we taught God's word, we saw lives starting to change. And then they taught others. And I just got the other day, Ignacio. Actually, it's kind of crazy with the SAEJA these days, that the tribal group we worked with. When we lived there, we could talk to our kids one time a week by shortwave radio. Now, the SAEJA are on Facebook. You can friend them if you want, but you're not going to understand. And they're on Facebook. I send out my messages in Spanish, and they pass them out to literally the whole tribe, listens to them. And I got a text this morning saying, please don't stop sending them. It's amazing what God is doing. And Ignacio was one of those kids, and he said in the text, I was probably going to share this next week, but I've already started, so I better tell you what he wrote on Tammy's Facebook. I don't have Facebook. She has an account. He sent a voice thing saying that he thanked her for teaching him to read and teaching him God's word, because he'd been a little kid in the Bible clubs that she had. And it's because of that, today he's an evangelist traveling around, not just with Esa Eja, but traveling and speaking in Spanish to the Spanish communities as well. That's the difference. That's passing it on and seeing lives transform around the world. That's what we need to be doing, is passing it on, not keeping it to ourselves. So often we get good news, get exciting news, and we want to pass it on. Don't pass on the score, okay? I'm just thinking about your brother. where was I again? That keeps distracting me. But we want to pass on good news. When we had those tractor and trailer loads of food come in a couple years back, but it wasn't hard to get the news out. People came from everywhere. They heard and listened and came, and they wanted to get the free food, and they needed it. And that was great. And the word got out, and I remember, I can't remember, it was Omar and Mr. Mooring, I think, took the last of the food in a pickup truck over to the Sullivan Apartments. You know how long it took them to empty that truck? They only told one person, I think, and it was gone. The word was out, because it was good news. It was exciting. The free food, come get it. Who's going to win MVP this year? Who's going to do this year? That news gets around so quickly. But how about the real good news of eternal life? You know, the gospel, clear doctrine, clear teaching. How's that getting out? How's the plan of salvation? Is that going out? A clear worldview. That means in believing in who God is and what he's done for us. His love for us, that he's eternal and all-powerful and all-knowing. Does that news get out there? Or does this the free food? We have to stop and consider what news we're passing on. In chapter 1, Paul gave a couple of points, and I think that's what he's referring to, pass on what you have heard. And in chapter 1, verses 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, you're greatly valued, and value others. That was the news that he told them. Besides the message of salvation, that's also what he's passing on. You're cared for by your family and by others. God has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit, has given you gifts to use to further the gospel, further the work. And that's what it comes down to. To do that, you need to know it. You need to spend time with him by the power of the Lord. And as he gets into it, he says, hey, he didn't give you the spirit of fear. He didn't give you the spirit but he did give you the spirit of love, the spirit of power. And that's the Holy Spirit in us to enable us to do things beyond what we can imagine. Not the one of fear, not the one that controls us. When I first came to Maryland back in, 79, I think it was. That was a couple days ago, too. That was even before I met Pastor Holbrook, and that's a long time ago. Never mind. Back to where we were. But in this area, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the one of power. You know, came down here and on Herb Wessel's farm over in Hampstead on Fairmont Road, and they interviewed me for the job of assistant manager. I was a young kid, and I looked and I said, man, I'll do anything you want here, except climb that grain leg, that grain tower, whatever they call them. Whatever it was, I didn't want to climb it. I told him, I said, I don't want the job if I have to climb that. God has a real sense of humor. They said, no way, there's enough people around, you're never going to have to climb it. You know the rest of the story probably. You can figure it out for yourself. It came to the time I had to climb it, and utter fear. And I realized fear was controlling me. It not only controlled me to climb a high tower, but it controlled me when it came to witnessing. Yeah, I was out visiting, doing visitation as a second man, a second person, and with Pastor Nevin, if some of you might recall. And he was doing a great job. Trust me, I was listening to everything he said. And the problem is the people invited us to have iced tea. 6 straight weeks. There's one problem. I hate iced tea. I it'd be a tough decision. Die of thirst, drink iced tea. Die of thirst. It's tough. It's a tough call. 6 weeks, I drank iced tea. Because he loved it. I didn't. Because I was too afraid to say, no thank you. I was an outgoing person back then. Ask Don Graff. He will testify to that. Just a dynamic personality, flamboyant, and no, not so much. Fear controlled. Then I understood that God said, no, you're controlled by my power, by my spirit, by my love. Amen. And that changed the whole trajectory of our life, our ministry, to become a good soldier of the Lord. You cannot be controlled by fear. You must be controlled by the power and the love of God. And that's what it comes down to. And Paul, that's what Paul was saying in chapter 1. That's what he said. Pass that on. Tell others. Don't be afraid. Keep going. Keep going in the power of the Lord. Verse 9, he said, focus on the Lord. Don't be ashamed, but be bold, because he is able. And that's where we came down to as we looked at that. And that's what we are to be passing on, and what Paul said in chapter 1. And then it goes on in the verse 3 of 2 Timothy 2. I think that's the chapter we're in. Therefore, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Endure, that means keep going on. Be strong in his grace, as I've already mentioned. Don't give up. That's a good soldier that doesn't stop fighting. He keeps going on. I said, but this is too hard. He keep going on. A good soldier keeps going. They don't get entangled in affairs. As they almost went to Spanish. Pastor said, he did tell us in the meeting that if I had a problem and had to go to Spanish, I can do one of two things. Have Mr. Omar come up and translate, or you can get out your phones and get Google Translator and just do live translation. Never mind. Hopefully we won't have to go there. I don't even know where I was now. Okay, back to verses 4 and 5. Don't get tied up in the affairs of this world. Be focused on him and what he has for us in serving him. Do what he got for us to do and go forward. That's where we need to be. Not being held back, not being limited by our circumstances. You know, a lot of times people can't go on because this is too hard. I was in a mission conference. It's one of the first ones I was at down in Virginia. And Tammy and I were shown the table, and this lady said, you know, I feel God's called me to be a missionary. I said, well, praise the Lord, but I can't go. And I said, oh, what kind of grave disease does she have? I'm afraid of spiders. I did the only wise thing at that point, turn around and look the other way. Because if she saw my expression on my face, it would be utter shock. You mean you can't serve God as he wants you to serve because of a spider? Or snakes. I can't go there because there's snakes there. Well, then don't go to Disney World. There's more snakes in Florida than in Bolivia. Let's put it that way. I don't know about Australia, but Pastor will let us know when he gets back. I didn't say that, did I? Yeah, I did. Yeah, okay. All right, let us believe and trust in God's word and what he said for us. Let us focus on the Lord alone in verses 8 and 9. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And this is what it comes down to. Remember what Jesus did for us. Remember that he was raised from the dead. You know, if he was raised from the dead, that means he came to this world and he died for us and he was buried and rose again. That's the message we need to be passing on, that there's hope, because he conquered death. Amen. He overcame death, and he's defeated death. He's defeated Satan, and he's paid for us to have eternal life. We have to remember that he came to this world. He was sent by his Father to come to be this sacrificial lamb, to be God in the flesh, and to die for us. And this is what we have to stop and think of. Because of him, because of Jesus, we are saved. For all those who accepted Christ as their Savior were saved because of what he did for us. That's the message we got to pass on. We have to testify to. We are forgiven. We are blessed because of him. We are justified. We're sanctified because of him and what he has done for us. Remember everything that Jesus did for you and for me. And that will encourage us to go on and keep going on. That will provoke us to good works, cause us to be a good soldier and continue on in the battle, even when the odds are against us, even when the battle is overwhelming us. We can go on because we know what he has done for us and how he has enabled us to overcome the past defeats, if we want to call them that, because they're really not defeats. They're just lessons that God taught us that he is well able. And now he's got some other ones that he wants to show us again that he is well able for all things. That's what we need to be reminded of. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This verse is used in Awanas as their key verse. And a number of you have used this and have memorized it. Anybody that grew up here memorized this verse. But the word study is a little deeper than just, okay, study your verses so you can get a badge. It is to, I'm keeping from going to the Spanish word because it's really good. Okay, what is it, procurar? I can't even come up with it. All right. Well, just endeavor on. Do. Not just learn, but do. Action to it. Put action to your studies. What you've learned, respond to it. Obey the word of God. That's what this is really saying. Not just study it to learn a verse, but study it to change your life and to do what God would have you to do. That's what it comes down to. To be an approved worker, to be a one that's serving God, we have to more than study and put into action, obey it and respond. You say, but I can't do anything more than I'm doing. Well, I have a hard time with that. When shortly after we got to the field, I think it was right after or right before we got there, another missionary arrived. Her name was Lucille Royer. She wasn't your stereotype missionary. She was, I believe, 75 or more, I can't remember, when she came for the first time, okay? She came then, and you know, she could never learn Spanish. She only learned one phrase, quiero compartir mi fe, and then she'd take a track and hand it to the person. I want to share my faith. She literally could not learn another language. She studied and studied and studied, but she'd go around every time she could, get on the city bus and hand a track and tell the people, I want to share my faith with you. Hand a track out. And I don't know how many, she'd go to the cemeteries on Sunday and all the little kids that would carry water there, when you put flowers on the grave, you had to pay somebody to bring water out to the cemetery for you, for your flowers. She would go out there and get these little kids and say, hey, I want to share my faith. And she'd give them tracts. And then she'd come get the missionaries and say, hey, you want to go with me out to the cemetery today? And she'd get a different one of us every time. Come on out and teach them God's word, because I can't, but you can. Let's get this thing done. Yeah, we all can do something. Amen. To transform our life. And God can use you in ways that you couldn't even imagine. And then this is what it comes down to. We need to go on and know the word, the study of the word, spend time in the word so that we can share the word and act upon it and respond to it and obey it. And that's where we need to come down to. Be an approved worker. Be reminded of what God has done, and then remind others of what God has done in you. Remind them of the truth. Remind others what God has done in our lives, and remind them to remind others and pass it on. And it's going to be amazing what God can do and how God can transform this church and to reaching out to more and more people that we can never make contact with. And that's where we need to stop and look at. Encourage others to go forward. An approved servant, an approved worker must flee evil and follow the Lord. Verse 22 of this the same chapter. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee youthful lusts. Follow the Lord. And it's very clear. It's easy. An approved worker will flee and follow. Flee, that's what we should not be involved in. Flee those desires that will lead us into temptation, that will lead us to fall. But focus on that which is good, honest, pure. Philippians 4:8-9. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Avoid it as much as we can. Anything that is going wrong, avoid it. But walk in the light of the Lord. Walk with him. Follow him. We had a problem when you talk about avoiding it and fleeing it. Down in Bolivia, in the city of Riberalta, we'd go out there from the jungle site. The best thing is get a bottle of the Hugo del Valle, juice of the valley, it's called. And it actually was like a fruit juice. The cherry was great. If they had it, that was the best thing to quench your thirst. You're in the hot jungle area. And they'd bring that, but they had it in bottles. The bottles was exact same bottle. It looked exactly like the taquiña bottle. You don't know what taquiña is? You know what Corona is? Yeah, that's what it is, a beer bottle. They look identical. So I finally got the thing. No, I ain't going to have him bring one of those and sit it down in front of the missionary and everybody going by looking, huh, look what he's drinking. No, you can't justify. You know, bring it in a glass, please, so that everybody can see what's in it. You know, avoid anything that will distract from the message. Flee. I mean, it's not a small thing. Flee. You know, those passions, those desires. Submit yourself unto the Lord and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yeah, he will flee from us. Resist him, flee him, leave him, get away from him, and draw closer to the Lord. Humble ourselves before God and resist the temptations of Satan. That's where we need to be, and we need to flee the evil. Because if we don't, we ain't going to be a good soldier. If we don't, we're not going to be an approved worker. We're going to be, nope, you didn't pass. You failed because you didn't flee. Now, follow after. That's what the rest of this verse speaks of. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Lord Jesus. That's who we should be following. That's who we should be going with. We should present ourselves as living sacrifices. As Paul told Timothy in the first verses, present yourself unto the Lord. Let him use your life to change other lives, that those lives might change other lives. And that's where we need to be. We need to go forward. We need to push forward. But we need to know the truth to be able to follow the truth. You know, if you don't have the right GPS, you know, your GPS keeps telling you, you need to update. Yours is 16 months old. And mine's more than that, but I still haven't updated it. But no, we need to update our lives spiritually in the Word of God that we might follow the path that God has for us, the direction that he's leading us. That's what we need to follow. And that's where we need to be. Who are we following? That's the question tonight. Who are you following? Who are you fleeing? Are we going in the right direction or not? And that's really the simplest way to look at it. As we have this, we have to know the truth. I have set the Lord always before me because he is my right hand. I shall not be moved. He's before me. He's the one I'm following. He's the one I'm going with. Psalm 16, verse 8. And this is Hebrews 12:2, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look unto him. Look to him. That's who we're running toward. Fleeing that, running toward him. It's simple, but we don't do it. We don't choose to follow, to run toward. And that's what it comes down to. Because sometimes, because we just don't know. We need to know if we're going to obey. And it's sort of like, I was driving out in Wisconsin one time, and we're out there to record our first presentation as missionaries. We're home, and I think it was in 88. And we had all the kids in the car. We just left the Bible school that was out there, and we're heading, we're going to the zoo. We were going to the county zoo there, and it's really a nice zoo out there. And we're going to the zoo, and I came down this hill, and I made a right-hand turn, and it was 35 on that road coming down. I made the right-hand turn, and I got up to 35 and was driving. And next thing you know, I see these lights behind me. He pulled me over and says, "Hey, you know how fast you're going?" I said, "I was going 35. He says, "Well, it's a 25 zone." I never saw the sign. I never saw the sign. I didn't know where I should be going. That's why I need to spend time. There's a little catch to it. I got to finish that story. I said, we had a station wagon. Station wagon, you put a lot of people in. We went to the next level of that because not only Tammy and our kids were with us, I think what was there, all five? And then Tammy's sister was with us and her four or five kids. And the policeman says, "Oh, what are you going to do about this?" And I said, I don't know. I can write you a check because I ain't got any cash on me. This was back before Christ. And he looked at me. And he looked in the back of the car, and he just shook his head at me and says, ten kids, two wives, just go. Yeah, they're going to keep you at the zoo. They're going to keep you there." He let me go, didn't have to pay the ticket, but that's, hey, you learn, pay attention. There wasn't any signs. So, but we need to spend time in the Word that we might know the path that we're ought to take. And that's what it comes down to. We need to take the time, pay attention to the Word, that God will show us clearly what we should be doing. And this is what it comes down to. So often we have our excuses why we can't. Why we can't do this. You know, there's another family that was supposed to go to the SAA work before us. And they couldn't go. You know why they couldn't go work with SAA? Because it was too far away from the city. It would cost them too much money. Hey, it ain't my money anyway. It's the Lord's. And that's the problem. We come up with these great excuses why we can't do something. And other ones said, "I can't go out into the jungle. I'll be too far away from my kids." It ain't easy. It's the hardest thing we did on the mission field was leave our children at the mission school. But God is well able. Amen. He can enable you to do things that you could never imagine. Could never imagine. God wants to use each of our lives here in 2 Timothy 2 to be an approved worker. We must flee and follow. Amen. We must be strong in the Lord, not in ourselves. Amen. We must remember and focus on who He is, what He has done, what He has told us, what He has taught us. We must be diligent, spending time in the Word. And responding to the Word and obeying the Word that God has revealed to us and telling others so that they might pass it on. Our hearts need to be fixed on Him. As we stop and look at that this evening in 2 Timothy, I've never was big on life verses until God had took us through some deep waters. And then in 2 Timothy 1:12 would have to be that verse that has impacted me over the last 35 years, more than probably any verse. 2 Timothy 1:12, "For to which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." I am persuaded that He is able to do things beyond what I could ever imagine. What we saw in Bolivia and what I'm going to show some of next Sunday night, beyond what I could imagine. And there's no reason that God chose to use me. There's no reason why God would choose to use you except that He wants to glorify His name through you. Amen. He wants to use your life. Spend time in the Word. And this evening as we stop, we need to take account into this and say, hey, what are you going to do with this? As we bow our heads to pray, I just want to ask you a couple simple questions. and maybe you need to make some choices with their heads bowed and eyes closed. There might be some of you who need to take that first step in obeying. And that first step is salvation, is accepting Jesus as your Savior. That's the first step. And there's some of you here tonight that maybe have not made that decision. And you need to make it tonight to trust Him as your Savior, first and foremost. And that's the first decision that needs to be made. And at that, and also, as we stop and think about it, maybe God wants you to be a soldier of the cross, a good soldier that are going to spend time in His Word. Decide tonight to be an approved worker. Choose this day who you will serve. Choose this day if you'll trust Him as your Savior. Choose this day to decide to be a good soldier, be in the Lord's army, to serve Him as He so desires. There's so many ways to serve Him, and you can choose tonight to be a part of the greatest army, and that's the army of the Lord. And that we'll see things happen that we can never imagine. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for being here. We ask You to challenge hearts. We ask You to challenge those of us that are here tonight, that our lives will be challenged with the truth that either we need to get saved, there could be some here that need to get saved, and that we just ask You to come forward, Lord, at this time, that they would just come to the altar and ask for somebody to show them how to get saved. And others need to choose to serve You, to be in Your army, to be a good soldier, and learn to walk with You. Lord, we ask You to work in the lives that there would be some that would decide tonight to seek to be an approved worker, diligently serve You, diligently walk with You, to flee the things of this world, but to run towards You. Lord, I ask You now to challenge the lives, each heart here tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.